Hello, everybody. This is a community spotlight for one of our valued Community Geek members. This is a guy who's frequently posting. He's writing resources for us now. They're some of our best resources, I think. They're really well written, very detailed, very research oriented. I want to give a warm welcome to Jürgen Derlath.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Hello.
So, you're German. This is in English. It's a little weird for you. I really appreciate you coming out of your comfort zone a little bit to talk with me. Because, you know, I
give my best.
Yeah. Well, your written English is fantastic. I was really impressed with the resources that you wrote, particularly the gaming one, which we'll talk about in a bit. It's very close and dear to my heart, and it was really impressive. So, to me, it was a natural choice to have you on here for our second community spotlight. What first drew you to online communities? And tell us a little bit about the first one you were involved in.
Well, it all started with my studies in psychology. My main focus was on instructional psychology, which deals with how people learn and how one can improve learning by improving the learning material and getting a good situation for learning. And one of the key concepts of this instructional psychology is the community of inquiry. So you already have the community aspect. And many of these communities of inquiry, when it comes to distance learning, are of course virtual. And so it started with communities of inquiry. And from this, I gradually went over to communities of practice and other kinds of communities, and to such things like how people learn in a social context, how they behave in a virtual social context. That's where it started.
It sounds like it has a lot to do with UI. Have you done any crossover with like website designers or people that design the interfaces and the features on these community sites?
Yes. In fact, at work, we do these things together. The online department and I, when we are redesigning, for instance, our web pages, I give my humble advice on how to do it or how one could do it to make it more usable, to make it more intuitive to use and to understand.
That's pretty fantastic.
And it's very, very interesting because this instructional aspect and I don't know the term. I'm looking for a word. It's instructional design. That's the term. All that's around instructional design is very, very interesting because you can, if you put learning material together, if you arrange learning material, you can do so many things wrong. It's incredible. And for the learner, it's so difficult to get through it to the point. Yeah. And
And it's very vital too, because so many organizations and communities have that aspect of needing to, even at a very basic level, if someone comes into a community, how do they learn the culture of the community? Even at that very, even if they don't have to learn an academic subject or a professional subject, they still have to pick up the social cues and learn of the features of the site, how to interact with them, what's appropriate, how much to talk. And a lot of people, especially newcomers to the community, they say they have issues with this.
True. Because the integration of newcomers to a community is very, very difficult. I noticed that when I did the last article on massive multiplayer online games. Basically, I wanted to do some research on communities of practice, which are very close to what I'm doing in my professional work. But as a byproduct, I found these two articles, which I summarized, and it struck me how similar the socialization process of a gamer is to the socialization process of a newbie or of a newcomer in a community of practice. And like in gaming, where you have guilds, you have in communities of practice, communities in the community itself.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the community of the core players, which is a very important community, because it's them who take over the job to integrate newcomers, among others.
Yeah.
And it's the same in the community of practice. Those who are most experienced are often those who are addressed by the other members most frequently, and who are in charge with such jobs as integrating newcomers, organizing the community, or helping the community management to organize the community and stuff like that. It was so similar.
Yeah, and do you have any personal connection to gaming? Like, how did this even get on your radar?
Well, I wanted to know what I was going to write about, and so I started gaming myself. Order and Chaos. I'm a level 69 magician.
All right.
with a pretty bad armor. 2 strikes and I'm dead. It's always the same. But I really liked it, and I'm still playing. I'm improving my trading skills now. I'm a tailor.
Oh, okay.
And so if I haven't got anything better to do in the evenings, I sit there and farm resources, which I can sell for gold. And with the gold, I buy the resources I need for my tailoring.
It's professional research, everyone.
It's totally professional research.
He's taking one for the team. This is not a personal endeavor of any kind. Well, have you experimented with... We don't want to delve into this too much. We have other things to get to, but I am curious. Have you delved into participating personally in one of these gaming guilds, or perhaps running your own?
No. I was invited. I didn't know how, but I was invited and I accepted, but I never got into contact with the guild. And I'm shying away a little bit from it, because I know if I participate in a guild, it will take much more time than I have. So I'm quite okay like it is.
It is a bit of a second job.
Yeah, it's a second job. Already, I'm doing this with my 2 daughters. Mm-hmm. They have accounts too, and we are farming together and killing monsters and mobs and everything, which is great fun if you can do it together. And that's the I never enjoy solo playing, but doing it together with my 2 daughters and forming task-oriented groups, mm-hmm. that's great. It's really fun.
Awesome. Now, you also have an educational background in economics. What did you focus on there, and how has that impacted your work on community?
That's several years ago that I studied economics, and I was trained as a, normal, traditional economist. At that time, we didn't even have internet yet. And
that's an
whole
age.
Community thing was that on the that's an age. Wasn't even on the agenda. It really came with my second vocation, psychology, which in some respects is very close to economics, because both deal with human behavior, and both are social sciences, mm-hmm. basically. And what I like about psychology is that the assumptions in psychological models are in general much more realistic than those in economics. At least at that time when I studied economics, we had this guy called Homo Economicus, and he's a weird guy. He maximizes or minimizes everything. He has no emotions. He's totally rational and
perceives his self-interest perfectly at all times. Yeah. I wish.
not a guy you want to meet.
No, it might be a nice guy to be. You can always pick the best choice every time. That'd be fantastic.
At no cost.
Yes, yes. No.
At no search cost.
And no regrets, ever. That's perfect. So on Community Geek, you officially represent the virtual community blog, which is your blog to talk about these issues, and you've got a lot of in-depth articles with a lot of research, cool graphs. Talk a little bit about that blog. Why'd you start it? What sort of content is on there? Where are you hoping to take it?
Mm-hmm. I started the blog in October 2012 with a short article on self-representation in Facebook. It was a very timid article. I started the article because at that time the interest in community questions or issues began, and I somehow wanted to share what I was reading at that moment, because I found it a little bit boring not to have somebody to tell,
mm-hmm.
which is always much more interesting. If you have somebody to tell it, you can reprocess it in your mind. You get new ideas, and it's not even necessary that there is someone sitting on the opposite side like you now. It's even possible to write it down and to tell it to somebody imaginary. It really helps. And I wanted to share what I was reading because I think sharing is a good thing. And I'm very happy that so many people read these articles on the blog.
So what's the next... I don't want you to like ruin a surprise or something like that, but what's the next sort of main piece that you're looking at putting out there? What topic are you going to tackle next?
Well, basically two things. Communities of inquiry, definitely, because it started with it, but I have never covered it as a subject. So at present I'm looking for articles, for good articles on the matter, and then I will give or write an article on this subject, communities of inquiry. And I think it would be interesting to have a little bit more about the sense of community and how it can be measured. Because I was very fascinated about the idea of a Simon Darling, who just took the questionnaire and asked his community members these 21 questions. But the problem is, even if you get answers, and even if you get these answers several times, you never know if you're good because you have no benchmark. You can see if you improved or if something got worse, but you have no benchmark. And I think this issue of having a good benchmark for such kinds of questionnaire, that's a question that has not yet been solved for practitioners in community management. And that's what I want to write about.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. Have you gotten in touch with Simon about his SCI obsession?
not yet. I answered his post on the Community Geek website. Mm-hmm. And I left two or three remarks for him.
I like the SCI, I like the idea of it, but mostly I like the fact that Simon and I compete with each other to see who can get the better one. It's been quite fun. And cool, because it's given me some opportunities to improve a community that I'm sort of using as a testbed for various community engagement strategies.
But, in which way are you competing?
To see who can improve the SCI, not like the absolute number, but percentage-wise. Every couple of months we're checking each other's community. And he's working with Quiet Riots. I'm working with a gaming community of my own, actually. And he will do his SCI, and see how much it's grown and what he's post what he's trying to do to improve it in the future. And I'll do the same thing. And then we sort of compare in a very friendly way, you know, who has had the better result from trying to improve the weaknesses in their scores.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I love it. I wish more people in the community would sort of get in on that. We need like a third horse in the race, I think.
That's a source for a future database.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the data from a gaming community, from Quiet Riots. Yeah. Yeah. We are running communities of our own. They are designed for assistance of physicians and dentists and lawyers.
This is your publishing company, or?
This is the publishing company, yes, and tax advisors. You may now ask, what do these people have in common? They all have a billing issue or a billing problem because these professions must bill according to special rules, according to legal rules, and these legal rules are tricky. So those who have to write the bills have questions. We usually answer these questions in our journals. But of course, there's always a new question, or there's always a question in a late issue. So people do what they always do. If there's somebody you can ask, you ask him first before you look up an answer in a database. And so we established these communities for the assistant personnel of those professions. And it was great to see how right from the start, people got into it, helped one another, gave support, asked questions, and all in a very supportive and a very friendly tone. It was amazing because normally in this B2B relationship, the partner on the other end is only, well, in a receptive mode, reading, processing the information, but never giving feedback. And here they gave feedback to one another. And this was very interesting for us from a publishing house point of view, because the first time we could see how our information was integrated in their work. It was really amazing. Perhaps I can take this questionnaire and ask those questions in one of our communities.
Yeah, I would say go for it.
Must check this with my colleague, but I'll do that.
I mean, I found that it... I mean, you have to interpret the data, of course, but for me, I found that it highlighted some areas where things could be improved and also showed the strengths. And it's useful. It's also really cool to see how it changed over time a little bit. So, yeah, I'd throw it out there. Talk to your colleague, see if he's interested, because I definitely got something out of it.
And what especially did you get out of it would help me to know that.
So a lot of areas where I thought we might be a bit weak, we actually were pretty strong on. And then a few areas I sort of expected us to be weak at, but wasn't really prepared for just how weak it would be. So, like... the community's average score was like a 2, and then some ones were like less than 1. It's like, oh my goodness, this is bad. So
yep.
I forget exactly what it was, but I think it was something like they feel like they can't change the community, which I sort of expected because the community is quite old and a lot of the members are quite new. But I changed a few things around, tried new initiatives, tried a different way of communicating to people and see if that number changed. And it did. Went up, I think, 15%, which is not bad for 2 months.
No,
so,
not at all.
We also did a thing where we established a permanent out-of-game chat room that sort of persists every day. And that seemed to, even the scores that were really, really high on, like, people feeling together and feeling like they could talk to one another, they went even higher with that. So I think, like, that was a specific feature add to the community that really capitalized on a strength we had and in fact even further bolstered it. So if you want the specifics, I would go with those two. I think Simon would probably have a few more for you. What's your proudest achievement? And if you could give us the story behind it.
My proudest achievement? Take my silence as a hint that I'm a very humble person.
Oh, you got a master's degree,
in fact,
a rich
my proudest achievement are my two daughters.
Oh. Do you want to give us a little bit about them? What are they into besides helping you with your professional gaming research?
Well, Zina, the elder one, is very much interested in psychology, and she's 16 now, and it's amazing it's amazing to see how she expresses her interest. We have very, very interesting discussions. I mean, she's 16, yeah, and she reads. She already started reading about it, and of course, arguing at school with teachers. I try to help her with some arguments in that. And Zoe, my younger daughter, she's 14, is a very talented painter.
Oh,
really talented. I'm very proud of that too, because she has such a great feeling for colors. I can draw quite well, not too good, and not too well, but I can draw a little bit, let's say. But she can really paint. She can use color, and whereas my drawings are always static, her drawings and her pictures are somehow in motion. I can show you.
Yeah, show me.
One of them. If you
I mean, this won't go out to the.
I have them. It's okay. So let's keep it short.
Those are cool.
I love. Whoa, this is one I love very much. I asked her to paint a naughty sheep, and that's what she did. It's several years old, but it's my favorite. And here's another very nice one about a weasel on tomatoes. I don't know why she chose this topic, but weasel on tomatoes, obviously.
All right, just a few more questions before we go. What book are you reading right now?
Right now, I am trying to read Steven Pinker's Fallen Angels. I don't know if you are familiar with Steven Pinker.
No.
He's a Canadian psychologist, very famous for his writing. The Blank Slate was one really really exciting book, and in Fallen Angels he tries to find out whether the world has improved or whether the human beings are have improved from 500 years before. And he started quite a debate because everybody said, no, look at all the wars in the world, and we had the Second World War and the First World War and everything. And he argues, no, we have turned for the better. Mm. The book is about that. Very interesting, but also very tough reading. And
sounds like it could be, yeah. It's not a narrative, I'm guessing. It's more of a scholarly argument kind of thing.
Yeah. Last narrative I read was Patrick DeWitt, The Sisters Brothers.
Hmm.
That was really a really good read. It's set in the Midwest, 1850s. Two brothers, the Sisters Brothers, two hitmen.
Hitmen
travel from from the Midwest to the West Coast in order to do their job. And they experience very weird encounters with other people during this travel to San Francisco. And what's amazing is the fact that this book is written in a very peculiar language. You wouldn't expect a 1850 hitman to speak like that. Because it's the younger brother who tells the story, but in a very peculiar way.
Like peculiar, like modern or not modern, or how would you characterize it?
That's difficult to say. It's very very rational. He is completely emotionless in his account. He is very rational, and he observes everything and he explains it, and he uses a very elaborate language. I mean, we are talking about a 1850 hitman of the Midwest.
Oh, interesting. Keep my eye out for that one.
Yeah, I can recommend it. It's great. I have recommended it to several colleagues, and they liked it very much.
What area of community science research do you have your eye on right now? I mean, besides what you're working on presently.
I told you the two main areas. It's the measuring of a sense of virtual community and communities of inquiry. These are the main topics now.
And do you have a favorite quote?
A favorite quote? Yes, I have. Good reading is damn hard writing.
I love it.
That's my favorite quote.
Oh, the truth of that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, and how can any interested Community Geek members help you with what you're writing or what you're researching? And how can they follow you and, you know, read about your work?
Okay, well, following is very easy. Look in the resources section of Community Geek. If there's not, I wrote. They can follow me on Twitter or on my blog. And they could help me with feedback. I'm longing to have feedback, because that's the best thing a writer can get, feedback of any kind. I'm able to stand to critics. It's no problem.
the Community Geek community would be constructive and civil in any feedback they would give you.
Of course.
All right, and of course, his blog and his Twitter will be linked in the text portion of this Spotlight interview. So, Jürgen, I want to thank you very much for doing this. This was a great interview. You did fantastic.
Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure, and have a good time.
And I'm looking forward to reading your next resource.
Soon. Coming soon.